unheardnerd.com.
If you have money, you can buy anything.
Oh shit, it's the mighty one kid. That superhero swagger gentleman just popping the lid. Got a Fibonacci sequence for your face. Looking like the numbers from Lost in Space. Or is it lost? John, Jack, Desmond, Hurley, man of faith. Science, surely not exactly skinny, but not burly. There's a reason I'm the unheard nerd. Too busy getting pixelated.
Welcome to the Unheard Nerd Podcast, episode 29, and it's the first one of 2014. I'm your host, Will. Thank you very much for joining me for what will be a spectacular show, as I'm joined by a special guest all the way from Canada. It will be the Word Burglar. Remember, you can get in touch with us via Twitter at The Unheard Nerd. On Facebook, it's facebook.com/TheUnheardNerd. You can find us on Google Plus, email TheUnheardNerd@gmail.com. And don't forget to visit our all new website, TheUnheardNerd.com. Let's get on with the show.
Line starts there.
Oh, hey, man. I'm just going in. I'm a performer, Word Burglar.
You're the Word Burglar?
Yeah.
The original verb hurdler.
Yeah.
The herb murderer in Persia to Alberta Rock.
Yeah.
The nerd interpreter. The shirt purchaser. The pervert serve terse sermoner. The scissor slurper. The citizen who's concerned around.
Yeah.
Purple nerpula. The verbal silver surfer.
Oh, yeah.
The Sherpa murmur. The bond maturer. The Noah girl named Ursula Converse returner. The earth surface and worst lurker and flurmer.
What is it?
The perp squirmish and burn furnace and hernia.
No.
The multinational merger. Uma Thurman. The fern squirter. The confirmed dessert server,
it used to be
the jerk and the firk and slurp and some bourbon, the hair curler, the Shirley Temple Shirler, the my name is Earlera,
no.
The goddamn word burglar.
Well, yeah, that
never heard of ya. $8.
Make it skitter back and hit the sack. I rip a track like bric-a-brac. So money, I'm in a rack. No hack, my craft is daft. I'm past the trash. I rap for laughs and laugh when raps are ass. Grasp the math like holding a calculator. Try to match the sass. Hit your old with a palpitator. But it's just an unattainable goal. So I'll explain it in whole from my brain to my soul. I break it down like osteoporosis. Like Claudio and Moses. It's costly to oppose this. Now you know this. And no one is half the battle. I keep flowing like drugs and calves and cattle. Rap and dazzle, stick to the soy blends. Throw away rhymes like Leanne's ex-boyfriends. The style's tight and I flow well. You know I'm sweet, huh? Like connecting rooms and hotels.
Black shoes, zoom tight, I'll rip a boom mic and flip the chicks, grip from noon to moonlight. Presume the doom's quiet, sooner you might find a cocoon and just swoon.
It's too tight,
that new ride. You just parachutes to me, cause I'm fat like Jared used to be.
Who, me?
Yeah, me. WB, the word berg to the lurg, you're in trouble, you see.
But go ahead and try my hand, end up flat like a frying pan by the man who gets crunker than Iron Man. Word berg, say my name a lot when I rap, and I could give a crap if you got a problem with that. Cause either way, I keep bringing clear and present danger. You ain't a rapper, just a queer, unpleasant stranger. And I'm still here making you spill your beer, cause when you see me, I'm ill, like ill seer. With fine rhymes, flying out the wazoo, pick up a shoe, make your shoe like the great Gazoo.
Black shoe, Gazoo. Tied, I'll rip a boom mic and flip the chicks, grip from noon to moonlight. Presume the doom's quiet, sooner you might find a cocoon and just swoon.
It's too tight,
that new ride. You just parachutes to me, cause I'm fat like Jared used to be.
Who, me?
Yeah, me. The WB, the word berg to the lurg, you're in trouble, you see.
Who, me?
Yeah, me. The WB, the word berg to the lurg, you're in trouble, you see.
Yo, I got the feeling.
come on. You know the vibe, I'm on a Cybertron, Monty Python, Leviathan. I'm lying on a gold mine, I call my own mind. It helps me do what most rappers don't, rhyme. You know how I feel about rap without wordplay. It sucks, like getting a vacuum for your birthday, or pouring fine wine down the drain. So peep the knowledge, like looking at Einstein's brain. Mason's on the case, son, you know the beats are cool. And I'm bringing more drama than drag queens at Diva School.
He's word burglar, don't.
Man, that question's rhetorical. Act like you know, like that woman who played the Oracle. This bard's remarkable, pard, your past participle. Wearing bizarre articles, rapping about hard arsenals. Full of shit, like an arts carnival, you fart particle. I'll leave you hanging like a nard.
Latch your kazoo tight, I'll rip a boom mic and flip legit script from noon to moonlight. Presume your doom's quiet, soon and you might find a cocoon and just swoon.
It's too tight,
that new ride, you just parachutes to me. Cause I'm fat, like Jared used to be.
Who, me?
Yeah, me, the WB, the word bird to the lurk, you're in trouble, you see.
Who, me?
Yeah, me, the WB, the word bird to the lurk, you're in trouble, you see.
Who, me?
Yeah, me. The word bird to the lurk, you're in trouble, you see.
Joining me on the show this week is none other than the spectacular Word Burglar. Thank you very much for joining me. How are you doing?
I am wonderful. Thank you. How are you?
I'm not too bad, but I'm very excited to have you on the show. I really, truly am. Because you released not only my favourite album, but my favourite song of 2012, the album being Third Burglar, and the song being Croque Monsieur, which I hope I'm pronouncing correctly.
Well, yes, merci beaucoup. Yeah, it sounds great, man. It sounds really good.
I absolutely love that track, and even more so when you brought out the video for it. Really honored to have you on the show. Wanted you on the show for a long time, but never really got in touch until, I think, end of last year. And then the guys from Nerdcore Meow pinched you just as we were going to do the show. So we've kind of delayed, and you've had a busy schedule. We'll come on to what you've been up to a little bit later on. But honestly, really a great pleasure to have you on the show all the way from Toronto in Canada. So thank you for that.
Well, the feeling is mutual. Thank you.
So I think, you know, as is tradition with the show, we'll start with a young word burglar growing up. Where were you born and raised? What sort of upbringing did you have?
I was born and raised in Halifax, Nova Scotia, which is on the east coast of Canada, which is a little closer to the UK than Toronto. By a couple provinces, and I grew up downtown Halifax, very close to a lot of very cool, I guess everything was kind of happening in the city, I feel like, in the hip-hop scene in Halifax at the time, so I was kind of exposed to it. There were a lot of all-ages shows that happened at an all-ages club that was about a three-minute walk from where I lived, and so I used to walk around and see a lot of like the local hip hop legends just kind of hanging around there. And I was very involved in sort of the Halifax hip hop scene as a fan and supporter as a kid. And then I was always messing around and making my own little rap songs and stuff. I think I wrote my first one in grade five. And my moniker was SJ Jazzy Jordan.
Wow, that's phenomenal. Why the hell didn't you stick with that?
Yeah, I know. It's not biting DJ Jazzy Jeff at all. And because my last name's Jordan, and everybody called me SJ. It's my first name's Sean, so secret unlocked.
That's cool. So hip-hop's been an influence from very early on.
Yeah, you know, I always loved hip hop. We used to have these tapes back when you could get your music on a tape or cassette. You remember those?
I right? absolutely do. Yeah, I am of that age.
Now, they weren't PAL cassettes. I don't know, were they the same types of cassettes over there? Excuse my ignorance.
I never knew there was a difference. I knew you could get like metal cassettes, or they had a more magnetic strip in them, but no, we just regular cassettes. I'm not sure.
Okay, I know, because you had PAL was the video. That's... We had VHS and Beta, and you guys had PAL.
No, we had VHS and Beta, but they were PAL format, whereas you had NTSC, I think. Was it NTSC, something like that?
Okay, I thought PAL was a whole other shape of receptacle of there's entertainment.
There's going to be a whole generation of people listening to this going, what the fuck are they talking about?
See, I'm on here to learn too, man. I want to learn. I want to learn about you crazy guys across the pond. I'm just kidding, man.
That's cool. So which hip-hop artists influenced you early on? Who were you listening to?
Well, I mean, my first memories were definitely Fresh Prince, DJ Jazzy Jeff, Public Enemy. We had these tapes, back to the tape cassette thing. There were these things that came out, and they were called rap tracks. And there was about 6 or 7 different volumes of rap tracks, and it was kind of all the top rap songs at the time. And I remember this would have been, you know, like the mid to late 80s. So you had like Rakim and Public Enemy, Run DMC, like Hammer was on them, PM Dawn, all that kind of stuff, Third Bass. Yeah. So those were actually really, really great intros to so many different artists. And then it was basically from there, went to anyone I could get my ears on, you know, like different people would have different tapes and we'd be dubbing tapes for each other, and anything, you know, anytime I could find new rap, I was excited. Growing up, I think in terms of real influences, I'd always say probably Masta Ace was probably my biggest influence and still is. He was the first rapper that I really remember thinking, this guy has got an incredible presence on the mic. He's got his own style. His rhymes were tight. He was expressing himself in a great way. And in the early 90s, especially when the whole gangster rap thing was really, really blowing up with, you know, all the West Coast gangster stuff. And just in general, Masta Ace was kind of a rapper who was a New York rapper, and he was a street rapper, and he was down with like Juice Crew, and he was down with a whole bunch of MCs, but he was very much against the whole gangster mentality and just really focused on lyrics. And I mean, obviously guys like Nas and Wu-Tang were big influences too, but I'd say Masta Ace was probably the guy that I was like, you know,
yeah.
He was a rapper that really made me like listen. And, you know, I'd had previously LL Cool J, Big Daddy Kane, all that kind of stuff. But Masta Ace, like, I think it was like a new album when I got to Slaughterhouse, which I shout out in Croque Monsieur, actually. You were talking about that song. When I say Slaughterhouse, I'm talking about Masta Ace's Slaughterhouse or Slaughterhouse 5, which is the Kurt Vonnegut book, which is a great book if you haven't read it. Anyways, yeah, so Masta Ace, definitely. And then guys like Lord Finesse, for the wordplay. I loved the way he wrote punchlines, and his wordplay was phenomenal. And then I'd say Cool Keith as well, because he just didn't give a fuck. And, you know, was just brilliant and creative and ultra magnetic MCs. And then all of Keith's solo stuff was just, you know, that definitely is like a young hip hop fan, when you know, hearing somebody like Keith just go off and just like, what the hell is this guy saying? And he was just really pushing things. And I think a lot of the people I was hanging out with at the time were really heavily into like Snoop Dogg and Dog Pound and you know, yeah, a lot of the West Coast gangster stuff. And I just always kind of gravitated more to, not to say that those guys weren't creative, but I guess sort of guys like Cool Keith and then on the West Coast, more like Pharcyde and Souls of Mischief. Like, definitely, I lean more towards the guys who are sort of lyrically interesting as opposed to the guys who sort of created these, you know, personas. Mind you, Cool Keith is like the king of personas. That's my rant. I love my rap, so.
Yeah. So what do you listen to then? Listen for when you're listening to hip-hop? Are you listening to the lyrics, or are you listening to the hooks? Are you listening to the music? What is it that grabs you about hip-hop?
First and foremost, I guess as an MC, I'll listen for the lyrics. You know, I want to hear what the guy's saying. I want to hear perspective. I want to hear, you know, I want someone's personality to... You know, I want to hear somebody has actually put some thought into what they're doing. And, you know, I mean, I can hear, you know, I'm sure you can too. Anyone who listens to any kind of music, the more you know, the more you can just sort of hear. Like, I can listen to an MC and tell you right off the top, oh, this guy's totally biting Drake and Eminem, or this guy, you know, like you can just, or maybe not biting, but you can tell where their influences are from, right? Or this guy, you know, everybody's, you know, was taking on the Big L persona for a while, and everybody's doing this style. And so me, I guess style and lyrics first. Beats always. I can listen to a shitty MC if the beats are really, really good, but there's only so much I can take.
Yeah.
but definitely the lyricists, and it's got to be good beats, it's got to be good lyrics, but I want to hear MCs that are, you know, that are saying things that I haven't thought of, and, you know, being honest. I want honesty, creativity. That's a fairly...
Yeah, you're quite demanding, actually, isn't it? As a fan of music.
And I listen to... I try and get my ears on everything that comes out, right? But, you know, some stuff I just can't even listen to now. I just don't have the patience. But, you know, other times, you know, you get new stuff. I mean, I don't know. I think we're in an amazing time for hip-hop where... there's just tons and tons of great stuff coming out. And especially with online, you're able to get exposed to all this great different music. But, you know, I want originality, right? Isn't that what everybody wants?
Yeah. Obviously, something that makes you sit up and go, wow, I've never heard that before. Yeah. Absolutely. So harking back to a young Jazzy Jordan, what did he pick up first, a mic, or did he start making beats first?
I picked up a tape deck in the, I think it was in like the teacher's lounge, and you could record right onto the tape deck. So I recorded onto that. So I guess that's a mic. So
yeah.
I started trying to make beats probably around grade 9 or 10. And, a lot of my early stuff, I rapped on my own beats, but this was again, before you... Now I think any kid with a computer, you can download a program for free and you can start making beats.
Absolutely. Yeah.
You know, in the 90s, you did not have that luxury. We tried messing around with 4-tracks, whatever I was doing pause button loops. I was hooking up 2 different tape decks together and taking loops off of vinyl, off my parents' old records, and literally digging through all their vinyl and trying to find loops and make my own beats and just record the loop, then, you know, pause the tape, record, bring the loop back, record it again, pause the tape over and over and over until I'd have like 3 minutes worth. And then I'd just rap over that and then breaks, you know, it'd be like uneven, and you get to the point where you can do it better. But, I think it's definitely easier now to make beats, which also I think in some way may detract from people's creativity because you hear a lot of the same types of stuff. But I like good loops. I want good loops and good beats. So
kids these days have got it easy. It's none of their Tascam 4-tracks
these days. It's true, man. It's true, man. I sound like such an old man. I'm really not.
Well, I mean, you're just referencing everything I grew up with, so that's two of us.
There you go, man.
So, I mean, Word Burglar, when did Word Burglar become a rapper? When did you become Word Burglar? Where did the name come from?
Well, I was rapping. In high school, I kind of became known as one of the only guys at my high school who rapped. So I used to rap, and a bunch of my friends, we were in a group and we called ourselves the dregs of society. I guess that's where things really took off. So all through high school, people kind of knew us as the dregs, and we put out a couple tapes, and we used to get together and record. We'd record in my bedroom. We recorded at like my buddy's place, anywhere, you know. I bought like a shitty mic from Radio Shack and just had like the worst setup ever. And we'd record straight to tapes. And then I would like, personally, individually redub each tape, and then we'd have, oh, we'd made 20 tapes, and then we'd go sell them at school for like $5 each, buy some crisps or something. And
amazing.
That's awesome. So when we were doing that, I was just SJ, and I rapped with a couple other guys in the crew. And then I guess after high school, I kept, you know, working on raps and, you know, planning to do something. And most of the dregs, you know, weren't as into it as I was in terms of like trying to take it seriously. And I knew a bunch of different people in the scene in Halifax and kind of picked up some tips on, you know, just recording and things like that. So I started working on a solo album, and one of the tracks I came up with this hook where I called myself Word Burglar in the hook. And then we recorded that track, and that track kind of wound up getting shared, and we dubbed it for a bunch of people. And basically people kind of got to know me as Word Burglar. So that's how I went from SJ to SJ the Word Burglar, based off that one song. And that song got featured on Basements of Badmen Volume 1 from Volume 2, I'm sorry, Volume 2. Volume 1 was a classic with a whole bunch of Halifax hip-hop on it. If you can find that record, there's a lot of good gems on there. Some old Buck 65 and Joe Run and Gordsky, good, some really good stuff on there.
Yeah. And who put that out?
That was Han Solo. They put out... That's how I first heard of Han Solo Records.
Right.
They put out Basements of Badmen 1. And then I was up in Toronto, and I found out through an MC named Fritz the Cat and another guy named Snywhip, who was in a group called The Oddities. I was hanging with those guys, and they told me that they were submitting something for Basements of Badmen 2. And I said, hey, I got to get on that. Like, I know Basements of Badmen 1 is one of my favorite records. It helped put a lot of Halifax hip-hop sort of on the map in terms of in Canada and into the States and hopefully overseas. So I put together a demo of 5 tracks I had and sent it off to Han Solo Records. And they got back to me and they picked that song called Word Burglar. And that was the song where people just sort of knew me as, oh, you're the guy who made the song Word Burglar. You're Word Burglar. And that's where... It was literally, I was writing a whole bunch of songs, and one of them, I called it Word Burglar, and it stuck. And I always liked the name, and I thought it defined my style perfectly, which is what it is, and, because I rhyme, my rhymes are hot, man.
Me on the loose, I got mad rhymes like an angry mother goose. Been annoying rappers since junior high, but don't take it from me, ask JL Smooth and Buck 65. But I don't even need a name drop, cause everywhere I go people give the Drakes props. You want me to rap? Sure, why not? Call me the Word Burglar, cause my rhymes are hot. It's that guy that you never heard of, spreading the word to nerds from Persia to Alberta. The Word Burglar, hurdling verbs and murdering herbs. I'm spitting so much shit, I'm gurgling turds. The Word Burglar, I burgle words. 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 Kicking hard like soccer, when your styles are old and smelly, like Aunt May Parker and Bob Barker. You can't produce like neutered pets. I eat you up quicker than Principal Skinner at Uterfest. And you guess I'm going out after this, but I stay hazardous, like being blasphemous in Nazareth. And to add a twist, I made the pass list at Project Admis, thanks to a tip from Fortress Maximus. Now I can eat with Halifax's elite, get drunk with my theater peeps and other comic book geeks. Strut down Beat Street, heading straight for Gotham. Kids with lisp,
let's chase awesome.
And as for those wealth MCs sipping Remy, I treat them like no self and cheese. I don't want any. Everybody knows I drop on ethical bowels, so don't get offended by my technical fouls on beats and records, playing video games or checkers on planes, train subways and double deckers. Have rap with Quebecers in bathrooms amidst hash fumes outside at night under the light of a half moon. Crash boom batcha like Africa with prattle that'll rattle ya, from Attica to Battlestar Galactica. Gotta cut a St. Pat. SJ's back. It's a shame that.
What?
You want me to rap? Sure, why not? Call me the Word Burglar, cause my rhymes are hot. It's that guy that you never heard of, spreading the word to nerds from Persia to Alberta. The Word Burglar, hurdling verbs and murdering herbs. I'm spitting so much shit, I'm gurgling turds. The Word Burglar, I burgle words. I burgle words.
Well, we should shout out the man behind Han Solo, Thomas Dougie Howitzer. He's good people. He's been on a guest on our movie show actually, rather than the music show. But I intend to get him back on. But if anyone can hook me up with a copy of that release, I'm sure he can. If he's still got it.
Yeah, I think he's still got Basements of Badmen 2. I don't know if he has any copies of Volume 1, but Basements of Badmen 2 started a whole bunch of stuff, because that's where I wound up I wound up meeting a lot of different Canadian artists through being on that compilation. And that was, I think that was 2003 or 2004. So that would have been sort of, you know, the birth of the Word Burglar name. And then after that, I followed it up with my first full-length album, which was just called Word Burglar.
All right. I didn't know that. Is that available online?
No. That's been out of print. I think there's under 1,000 copies of that in existence.
Wow.
On CD, and that's it. And it's not, don't have it in print. It was a lot of old demo stuff. It was songs that I'd been working on with the Dregs and with a couple songs with Jesse Dangerously, who I knew from way back. We used to play baseball together and we're kind of coming up on our own at the same time. And we had lost touch for a while throughout high school, and then we reconnected after high school when we were both, you know, working on making rap songs. And, you know, we've been friends ever since.
Absolutely.
You know Jesse, right? You know Jesse Dangerously.
Yeah. He did an email interview a while back. He released a track, I can't remember what it's called, but it was a remix of another track with Noah 26. Is it Noah 26 on it?
23. Yeah, just Noah 26 minus 3.
Yeah, that was so close. but yeah, he did an interview about that song, and I always remember that. I was on holiday at the time down in the west of England, and I couldn't get an internet connection anywhere other than Starbucks. So once a day, I would pop in and sort of conduct that interview from Starbucks while I could
get your money.
Yeah, that's it. But Jesse, yeah, I mean, probably a future guest if I can get him on, hopefully.
But he's a wonderful man. He's a wonderful man.
There's a lot of wonderful men there in Canada producing wonderful rap music, and a lot of them are on the back burner crew.
They're only in the back burner crew. Everybody else is. We only recruit the most wonderful men in back burner.
Absolutely. Well,
they're very elitist.
I had the opportunity of interviewing Ghetto Socks.
Oh yeah, he's a homie.
I think not last year, year before, end of that. He was over here touring with the Herbalizer. So we sat down and had breakfast one morning because he was staying right near where I work and live. So we met up and we had a chat. And I had to ask him, it seems like you guys just sort of hang out and have a lot of fun. And that's what comes across in the back burner video for, you know, Heatwave and things like that. And you all seem to have a great community. But he said it's absolutely like that. So you don't work or anything. You just hang out all day. And make rap music.
When we can, you know, when the rest of the world doesn't get in the way, it's, you know, there's nothing I'd rather do than hang out with those guys and, yeah, just make records. It's the best.
Well, moving back to your music, I always assumed that Burglaritis was your first album from 2006. Is that right?
Yeah. That is, I think that's the earliest album I have available. So that I had a vinyl release that came out the year before Burglaritis, which features a couple songs from my first CD. But yeah, Burglaritis was my first full-length release on Han Solo Records. And the first, like, my first CD, I only sold at shows. So, and then, you know, online, like if people emailed me and wanted to buy it and stuff, I did some mail order, but I didn't have a website then. I didn't have, you know, anything. I didn't own a computer. I mean, I never had a computer growing up. I didn't own one till probably like 2007 or 8.
Yeah.
All my rhymes were just written in rhyme books, which I still have, because I just didn't, you know, I don't want to throw them out, but, But so I was not really the most online person. And then, Doogie put out Burglaritis. So, but it is not my first album.
No.
It's not. It's kind of the first one that I think is, you know, I'm really proud of. I think I'm proud of my earlier stuff, but it's just, to me, it's so old now that it's, you know, it was like 10 years ago. So it's.
Yeah,
it's hard for me to even, I don't even know when I listened to it last. I couldn't tell you, but
I've been listening to it a little bit over the last few days just to prep myself and get in the mood, get in the zone.
Oh yeah, well, Burglars is amazing. I'm talking about my first record.
Yeah,
that's right. way old. Yeah.
And then it was some time between that and Bergie's Basement, which is a collection of rarities and B-sides. Was it some 4 years between those?
I think it was 3 years, give or take. Bergie's Basement came out, I guess Burglaritis came out at the end of 2006.
Right.
And then Bergie's Basement came out in 2009.
Okay.
And then, again, that was one I just did exclusively for shows and touring. I was doing a lot of touring with the Backburner guys, Toolshed, Thesis, and Jesse.
Mm.
And the plan was actually to put out Third Burglar in 2008.
Wow.
But I was kind of homeless and bouncing around from, place to place. I was very much in transition and just kind of, working odd jobs and just kind of struggling. And, money was tight and I couldn't get a record put together the way I wanted to get it put together. And Bergie's Basement, I never stopped recording. I never stopped writing. I never stopped performing. And so Bergie's Basement had a few songs that were intended to go on Third Burglar originally, and then it also had some remixes and just some tracks that I'd been working on for other people's albums. So basically when 2008 was coming to an end and Third Burglar wasn't ready, I said, all right, let's put this all together, and I think I've got enough tracks to make a good record. So that's where Bergie's Basement came from.
Pick up the mic and kill it, kill it, top villain. I got gold, it ain't nothing. Made it, man. Sky's the limit for reaching the golden.
We don't like people who brag. Then turn this off, I got erectile difficulty, never get soft. Just floss the mic like rocks of ice, smooth like a talk with Christ. The God is nice, you're not right. If you say I'm not good, my rhymes are like that subway stop. They are good. Ours should be right under your thumb, so you can rewind my lines, cause every one of them's dumb, 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 dumbly-doo. I'm butterfly and sting like a bumblebee-doo. What's up with you? I'm in front of you at your show, wondering who the hell said you could flow, cause they lied. Like a rug on the floor, you couldn't get a girl to tug on your drawers if you were a dresser or something similar. I'm living large and you're struggling miniature, cause I'm mad slick like a hat trick on Patrick Waugh.
What?
I rap sick, wah. I rap sick, wah. You know I'm mad slick like a hat trick on Patrick Waugh.
What?
I rap sick, wah. I rap sick, wah. MCs duck down whenever Bergie spit. You couldn't catch this bitch if you were Ernie Witt. With a sturdy grip, I hold this mic, it's word burglar. But I already told you, right?
Right.
Crews get burned like your head spins on turf. Me without a rhyme's like no Rex in insert. Nah, this kid can't be from Toronto.
You're right.
I'm not, yo, straight out of Halifax, where I dabbled in battle raps, frazzle and dazzle. Now here's a tip, like when cattle nap, none of your crap is worthy of me. I treat all your releases like a dirty CD, and keep skipping without a jump rope. Punks don't come close, my veins pump dope, and some folks won't think this is ill, but I do it for myself, cause I know I will. Cause I'm mad slick like a hat trick on Patrick Waugh.
What?
I rap sick, wah. I rap sick, wah. You know I'm mad slick like a hat trick on Patrick Waugh.
What?
I rap sick, wah. I rap sick, wah. Yeah, you know I'm bad and got a few more sins to go. It's the name on the lips of those in the know. Infinite flows leaving you black and indigo. Cold chilling like Wendigo in the snow. Check me out like I'm new to the fam. I'm worth it like the first issue of Superman. Exclusive jam, goddamn. Criminy, you know what I want.
Like N-I-N-E.
Find me if you wanna sit in remission. But there's a minor fee, like kids' admission. You're witnessing precision like an Egyptologist. Heard your album and Jesus, y'all should quit. At least revolve some spit that involves a bit of thought and balls that wouldn't fit in a Rollins mitt. I make it hot in your area like a fur thong. You think I'm whack? Well, you're wrong. Cause I'm mad slick like a hat trick on Patrick Waugh.
What?
I rap sick, wah. I rap sick, wah. You know
I'm mad slick like a hat trick on Patrick Waugh.
What?
I rap sick, Waugh. I rap sick, Waugh.
Also, the thing with Burglaritis was it didn't even like it. I made it in 2006, but it didn't get these things take a long time. You know, I didn't know. I had no plan on how to get it out to people. You know, Han Solo was handling that, but I had no idea that people were hearing it. You know, I think on MySpace, somebody got in touch with me and said, hey, man, we know Burglaritis. And they invited me out to this to Nerdapalooza, and that was in 2008, and I had no idea, you know, that outside of Canada that people had heard the record, you know, and it was you know, I was very very busy in Canada, so that was good. But
how does it feel to know that there are people all around the world listening to your music?
Oh man, it's great. And I mean, you know, it's I'm always happy, man. I'm always surprised and excited. It's great. It's a great feeling. And you know, I've been able to keep making more. I've never really wanted to stop.
Yeah.
But
well, you mentioned Nerdapalooza there, which is sadly no longer with us. Mm-hmm. Those guys went bankrupt at the end of the last show last year. But in its place comes Orlando Nerdfest, and some exciting news about that. You've just been announced as headlining the was it the day after party or the day after show? Sorry.
Yeah, one of those things. I'm excited. So one of the guys who was loosely, I think, associated with Nerdapalooza back when I went in 2008. He invited me to come out again for this new thing, Orlando Nerdfest. And yeah, I love those guys. I'm happy to be invited, and it's gonna be a good time. I'm psyched.
And that's a part. It's going to be part of the A Comic Shop. The A Comic Shop is actually a comic shop called A Comic Shop.
Yes.
And they've got a room or
not
space.
Not to be confused with the Canadian one, A Comic Shop.
Well, I wasn't going to go with the stereotypes, but if you are, I mean,
you're editing this, right?
Absolutely.
You're cutting out all my rambles.
Some of them, not that one. Cool. Well, I mean, I'm sure a lot of people are super excited to be able to see you there. I would love to go, but I don't think my family commitments will allow me to. We launched a half-assed Kickstarter or Indiegogo alongside the guys from Torrance last year to try and get to Nerdapalooza. We got way out of hand, and we couldn't raise the $8,000 needed to get everybody there from around the world. So it wasn't to be. But maybe one day I'll get over there. That would be fun. Let's get back to your albums then. So we've had a look at Burglaritis and Burgess Basement. And then in 2012, my favorite album of that year, Third Burglar. Did you have the title kicking around for that long beforehand?
Yeah, Third Burglar. I guess the title was kicking around for a while. I think Jesse Dangerously will tell you that he came up with the title, which I don't remember if he officially did or not, but I can give him a co-creator credit.
Very generous of you.
I feel like it was something, I don't know when the name came up or what happened. But yeah, I think in 2008 or 2009, I had decided the next record was going to be called Third Burglar. And I had sort of said it as a joke, and then it just stuck. and then it just sort of became this thing, and people were like, is this going to happen? And then I had people asking me at shows, when's Third Burglar coming out? I was like, did I even like talk about this with anybody? Like, I don't remember even announcing it. So that became the thing. And then, yeah, again, it was supposed to come out. I was working on it in 2010, and we got, there was a lot of touring came up, and I just had a lot of really good opportunities to do things. And I just, the album wasn't ready, and I wanted to time it out and, you know, get a video. And we were planning on doing some videos for it. And And then the Backburner Heatwave album came up, and that took a lot of time. And I was really heavily involved with that record, like just a lot of the behind the scenes stuff on that. Timbuktu is sort of the main guy who really pushed that album through. And
yeah, Socks said the same thing.
Yeah, so Tim made that happen, and you know, full credit due to him for sure. And I mean, I helped him out as much as I could, and it just became a really big thing. And especially with the crew that large, we really had to knuckle down and wrangle everybody. You know, it's like wrangling cats, but dope cats, of course.
Absolutely.
And so then Heatwave came out, and then I just waited, you know, till the Heatwave cooled off a bit, and then that's when I dropped Third Burglar.
UnheardNerd.com.
I don't recognize your bullshit, I'm sick.
Cause it's smooth, like how after shaving feels. Taking down more birds than Dave Winfield. The Navy SEAL on blades of steel. Famous for spiels from playlists to turntableless wheels. Making fakers appeal at the saviors they kneel. Deranged with the brain of Xavier but real. And the flavor's like a plate of some great tasting meal. But laced with a faint taint for when plagiarists steal. Savor the zeal you can't catch like crazy eels. Cause they're slippery and they're crazy eels. On the reel they say get a major deal. But they forgot I am a major deal. It's a word, burglar, preferred mirth and surda. Leave you catatonic and up preserved fervor. Just when you thought you couldn't get served further. Make you feel soft like some kind of nerf. You gotta do yourself, cause if not, who's your drop? Dude's got attitude, then like boobs, lose a bra. Write it in italics, in bold, in future rock. Word, burglar, my style's a whole. You gotta do yourself. Well, if not, who's your draw? Dude's got attitudes like boobs, lose a bra. Write it in italics in bold, future rhyme. Burglar, my style's a whole foofah. I stay dipped like a chip, you've forgotten some dip. Hopping with hip, chopping the spit, not in a whip. Walking with grits, rocking the mix. Apocalypse, redonkulous, talking with a vodka twist. It's the ominous optimist, holding an obelisk. When it's obvious to put an omnibus on a disc. Honestness should make the kids pay shit for it. But they don't care, they just get it on BitTorrent. Like Rip Torn, the kids rip scorn more than a thick thorn. Flipped more than a shitstorm's worth a legit grip's born every second. Never detecting the lessons you're getting. Hitting like Tekken, so beckon. What you reckon will set in from Ovechkin to Mechaneck. I got the epithet for wrecking sets. When you second guess or threat deaths, is all you get regrets and debts? Heck, you gotta do yourself, cause if not, who's your drop? Dude's got attitude, then like boobs, lose a bra. Write it in italics, in bold, in future rock. We're a burglar, my style's a whole. You gotta do yourself. Well, if not, who's your draw? Dude's got attitudes like boobs, lose a bra. Write it in italics, in bold, future rock. We're a burglar, my style's a whole. This is the recipe for mentally messing with many enemies. You better be ready to be disheveled by the reverie. Eventually, spend your penny sensibly and send for me. Like 10th century centuries on a mezzanine. Your friends agree I'm friendly and tend to be plentifully equipped with modern day amenities. In any event, 70 centipedes couldn't mess with me. Got it hot locked like a Venice Beach penitentiary. Never went with a girl named Genevieve. But if your name's Genevieve and you're hot, yo, message me. Now stop, dip, dip, dob, dob. Real rappers are broke working odd jobs, and you're too cheap to buy their CD. You come to the shows and try to fly them for free, then hate all night with your screw face on, cause you're scared to have fun with a new face on. You gotta do yourself, cause if not, who's your drop? Dude's got attitude, then like boobs, lose a bra. Write it in italics, in bold, in future rock. We're a burglar, my style's a whole. You gotta do yourself. Well, if not, who's your draw? Dude's got attitudes like boobs, lose a bra. Write it in italics in bold, future rock. We're a burglar, my style's a whole foofah.
Yeah, I've got the download on my iPod. I've got the CD, which you very kindly gave me when we met in London. I can't remember. Was that last year or the year before?
That was at the Shoreditch.
It was the Shoreditch.
That was 2000. What are we now? 14? That would have been 2000, end of 2012, I think. That was in the fall.
Yeah, I can't believe. Blimey, time flies.
That's crazy.
Yeah, yeah. But I mean, well, let's talk a little bit about that show. It was fun. What, you were over on holiday, or?
Yeah, I was doing a, I was on holiday. Yeah. It was basically a little vacation, that my girl and I wanted to do for a while, and we had the opportunity to get over there, and we did a little tour. We went around France, and we did England, and, you know, we figured while I was going all the way over there, you know, an opportunity came up to do a show, and I just said, yeah, let's do this. And yeah, it was great. I think that show wound up being, it was a weird night of the week. It was like a Tuesday or a Wednesday, but
it was, yeah, yeah.
And it was an earlier show in a unique, the venue was interesting, but I really liked it, actually. I had a great time, and
it was good. I was very
intimate. Yeah, I met some really good people, man. It was a good time.
Yeah, I went along with Milk Plus.
That's from, right. From, yes, Torrance. Yeah, man. And, word up, man. He's a dope producer, man. I like his beats.
He really is. I met him for a beer just a couple of nights ago, because we live very close to each other. Yeah. And he was saying that he intended to send you some beats just to consider, and that he'd been talking with you. And he's like, oh, I never got around to doing it, but I really want to carry on doing. I would like to do that. I was just like, email him. I'm sure it's fine.
Yeah, that'd be fresh, man. Yeah, so, for sure.
Yeah,
I'd totally be into that.
I'll get word back to him and speak.
Did he make that Batman beat? That
yes,
was on the Grandpa Funny Book.
He did. Yeah, yeah.
The last mixtape. Yeah, that's. I like that beat. That was pretty good.
He did something for Les as well on the Doctor Who mixtape.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Did a check on that. But yeah, very talented guy. He does a lot of good work for charity, and yeah, really really nice guy. But anyway, we went to this show in. It was at the Shoreditch in Shoreditch on Shoreditch High Street. It was a basement.
That's a lot of Shoreditch.
It's a lot of Shoreditch. You couldn't get any more Shoreditch in there. And we turned up fairly early because I think doors were supposed to open at 7 or something. We were there. It was like empty. It's like, is there actually a show going on today?
Yeah, no one, like going to a rap show early, you know, if I'm playing a show, you know, and the doors are 9, people don't show up till 11. So playing a show where the doors are at 7, I was surprised that people showed that early, but it was good. Yeah,
well, we had to go down the road for a few beers to the pub, which was a bit cheaper than the bar. But when we came back, we were just sat there talking, and next thing I know, you're sat next to me, and it was like, oh my god, how weird. And I felt a bit embarrassed, like, hi, you're weird burglar. But it was very nice to meet you, and you were very gracious on that night. And it was a really good show. I enjoyed it a lot. And I got some cool photos and put a couple of videos up on YouTube of it, which are out there to see.
That's awesome, man. Thank you. I'm glad to hear that.
I
had a great time, man. Everyone there was so nice, and, you know.
Yeah, yeah, really good.
It was just a great time. I loved London, and I definitely want to get back there.
That's sure. Something that's been bugging me about when we met. I didn't really pay enough attention to. Is you'd I think you'd been, was it to Orbital Comics during the day?
Yes, yes, I'd been to. I think I'd hit about 3 or 4 different shops while I was there. But yeah, there's Orbital,
the Forbidden Planet.
And Forbidden Planet, yeah. And then there was one other one that I forget the name of. Orbital was cool. Orbital was good. I scored some stuff there. It was good.
Yeah, and one of the things you were telling me about, and I'm a little bit nervous about getting down the G.I. Joe route, because I know I know once you get going, it's going to be hard to stop you. But
I'll restrain myself.
you were telling me about an action figure you got. You were explaining that it wasn't G.I. Joe, it was Action Force, because we didn't have G.I. Joe. Is that right?
That is correct. It was, yeah, Action Force.
SAS figure?
Yeah, man. Good memory, man. Good memory.
Well, I thought I hadn't really been paying attention. But...
No. That's totally. It was Action Force. And then I think what happened was Action Force and G.I. Joe eventually melded together. So they wound up bringing over a bunch of the American G.I. Joe figures and calling them Action Force. And there's actually a podcast from the UK called The Full Force, and you should check it out. I'll send you the link after the show. Those guys, and you know, they talk about G.I. Joe and action figures and stuff like that, but it's kind of an interesting perspective for me to hear, you know, the Action Force stories.
Yeah.
The guys all had the same names, but I think they were, you know, born in different places, you know.
That's crazy, but it's fun. It's fun. Well, yeah. I mean, it brings us nicely on to your next release, which was Welcome to Cobra Island, which was last year, a very fairly recent release, which was an obvious tribute to G.I. Joe. and what inspired you to do a full album of a tribute to G.I. Joe?
Well, honestly, I thought it would be really cool. I had an idea on how I thought I could approach it. Yeah. And I mean, especially within like the nerdcore scene, if you will.
Yeah.
There's so many people who do different, you know, concept albums and different things about different subjects and stuff like that. And I had been thinking about doing this for a long time. It was always in the back of my mind. And I had an open window where I could work on it. I got access to some really old samples from the original cartoon. And it was honestly, it was a labor of love. And it was a great way for me to use all the useless information I had in my head. And I just wanted to do it. I mean, it was basically, I made it for the 12-year-old in me that, you know,
yeah,
really immersed himself in the Joe lore when I was a kid. And then, you know, it's always been there. And I'm still a diehard fan, you know.
Yeah.
I'm surrounded by action figures now and G.I. Joe dioramas I've set up. And if I had more time, I'd just be building a whole fortress. but yeah, man, it was just, I thought I could make a record that would be simultaneously a dope album that was a tribute to this stuff. And my hope was to make it an album first so that you don't really need to know G.I. Joe and it would just be a dope album. But also, if you're into G.I. Joe, it's going to be the definitive G.I. Joe album. Right. So
I would say mission accomplished on that, because I know nothing about G.I. Joe or Action Force, but I really, really enjoyed that album. In the same way, actually, that, you know, speaking to More or Less about his Doctor Who mixtape, I really have no interest in Doctor Who. I haven't watched it probably since I was a child, but I really enjoyed that album. I don't get the references. I don't know what the quotes are or the... Yeah, the samples are from, but really enjoyed it. And absolutely the same is true of Welcome to Cobra Island, especially Rat Viper. So I was very pleased that you brought out a video for that recently, which is also amazing, by the way.
Thank you. I got to give credit to 3AM. Those guys, they did the Heatwave video from Backburner. Same guys made the Rat Viper video. They blew it out of the water, man. It's just,
yeah, I mean,
it turned out so much better than I could have imagined. And, you know, it's fun. It's cheesy. It's, you know, I'm pretty hands on with all my videos, and these guys, I've just blown away the work they did. It's awesome. I'm yeah. I'm glad you enjoyed it. And I just, we had nothing but fun making it.
Strike like a cobra. The Rap Viper, superbly trained to drop dimes on your mind as I'm scanning your brain. Cobra for life. My parents met at the Terradrome, Rocka Beach Boardwalk. That there's my home. Dad worked at Arpco. Mom was a televiper. Was flying rattlers when you could still smell my diapers. Lyrical sniper, delivered without obstacle by Dr. Venom at Cobra Island Hospital. Diabolical, my style's deadly like a lobulus. Speakers on my back, me a rapper, synonymous. Major Blood got me into writing poetry, riding hydrofoils when the eels used to flow with me. And now they know it's me. Every single place I go, rallying the troops, getting play on Cobra Radio. Sonic Fighter, my primary specialty is that I rhyme very freshly. Rap Viper, never spit blanks. Play me from the fangs to the bugs to the hiss tanks. Springfield to the Cobra Citadel. Across the globe, and you know I give them hell. Rap Viper, never spit blanks. Play me from the fangs to the bugs to the hiss tanks. Cold slither in the Cobra Citadel. Around the globe, and you know I give them hell.
Strike like a cobra. Out on the island, bombing them seas all day. Hunts from the honeys, pound from the rock next
day. Strike like a cobra.
Out on the island, bombing them seas all day.
R.A.P.
Let me take it back for a sec, yo. As a cobra youth with my best friend Billy, used to bug Crystal Ball, always thought he was silly. Back when Big Boa taught me how to box, in between swimming laps with Croc Masters Crocs, I
I was stealing pop from the dreadnoughts, getting dirtier than Shadow Tracker's dreadlocks. And when it gets hot, ammo's bursting, throwing my words and chill like snow serpents. Dope serving like headman in a drugstore. Once got busy in the back of a bus bore, and much more, but that's for another day. Don't need Tomax to know what your brother say. Cobra Records for your fams on the roster. So bump my jams from your man Bacostas with my modified standard issue RTO, letting every snake know where to party, yo. Rap Viper, never spit blanks. Play me from the fangs to the bugs to the hiss tanks. Springfield to the Cobra Citadel. Across the globe and you know I give them hell. Rap Viper, never spit blanks. Play me from the fangs to the bugs to the hiss tanks. Cold Slither in the Cobra Citadel. Around the globe and you know I give them hell.
Well, I've enjoyed a number of your videos, actually. I've made a little list of the ones that I know of and have watched a few times. In particular, probably the first one I came across when I first discovered Word Burglar. And I don't really remember how I discovered you as an artist. I think probably, I don't remember exactly, but the video that I watched time and time again on YouTube was, you'd probably say The Route, but I'd say The Route.
The Root, okay,
yeah.
Nice.
Which is, yeah, I watched it again tonight and it just left me with a smile on my face. I love the vibe of it. It's got that sort of eerie Indiana or you know, a little bit of Twilight Zone to it. Really fun. Really like that.
Thanks, man. That beat's produced by Ghetto Sox, actually.
Well, he's in the video.
He
isn't
made
he?
The beat. Yeah, he's in the video and he produced the beat. It's one of the first tracks we worked on together. And it's directed by Mark Palermo, who's an old friend of mine who wrote an amazing movie called Detention. If you haven't seen it, track it down. Detention, Joseph Kahn directed it. It's a crazy, weird horror, sci-fi, teen movie. It's not what you expect.
Yeah.
So if you like The Root, I think you'll think Detention.
Okay, and then Cream of Wheat as well is another interesting video for that. You know, black and white, sort of oldie, schooly looking video, which is cool. But then absolutely raising the game and blowing it out the water, you know, Rhyme O'Clock, the video for that, my God, it's amazing.
Thank you, man.
How on earth did you pull that off? I mean, how do you?
I have no idea.
How do you get funding for a video like that?
Well, I'll tell you, the funding we get, we stretch it beyond belief. Working that video was done with Shut Up and Color Productions and Jason Lavangi and Mark Tetro, and there's some buddies of mine from high school or from Halifax. I guess I've known Jay since we were kids. We kind of grew up right around the corner from each other in downtown Halifax, and he's just a brilliant, brilliant director, and we just are on the same page with so much stuff that, and he actually worked, he helped out on The Root and Cream of Wheat, and we kept saying we got to do a video together. So when Rhyme O'Clock came up, and we had tried doing a couple other, we tried doing a video for Supberg from Bergie's Basement, and we couldn't make it happen. So we said, well, for the next one, we'll get a video done. Rhyme O'Clock was basically weeks and weeks and weeks of planning and getting people together, trying to get everything organized. And honestly, the stars aligned, and we shot two full days downtown Toronto and from sun up to sundown, and everything came together. Just, you know, looking back on that video, I'm still amazed, like, at how well it turned out. So a lot of people put in a lot of long hours to make that cool. And, I, you know, I had a lot of friends help me out with it, and it was just, it was good.
Yeah.
I'm glad you like it. So we succeeded.
What's
good.
What's not to like? You've got a Millennium Falcon fighting Ed 209, and it's just crazy. I mean, it just mixes virtually everything I've ever loved in my life into one video. I mean, it's just, you know, yeah, save for the kids.
That's what we set out to do, man. That's what we set out to do.
Well, we're fast approaching the hour mark of the show, and Word Burglar and I were able to talk for much longer. So, what you'll have to do is tune in next week for the rest of the show, the second part of an interview with Word Burglar. Thanks for tuning in. Be sure to get in touch at The Unheard Nerd on Twitter, facebook.com/TheUnheardNerd. Find us on Gmail and check out the website. It's TheUnheardNerd.com. Tune in next week for part two of an interview with Word Burglar. Dressing red and black, suave shit and rocking the Riker beard. Yo, they rap money, cars, and hoes. I rap TheUnheardNerd.com.